This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's just about 7:12 and this is the evening edition with Lynn and Sharmila. Up next, there was an eviction notice issued to the Bagan Lalang Orang Asli, and this was from PNSP. And essentially, it was because there were plans to develop the land that's currently housing them into a tourist destination. This is, of course, not the first or only story of its kind, but it is the most recent, which is why we're looking at it.
So this was reported on in the Malaysian Insight, and on April 20th, they basically issued a 30-day eviction notice to the Ma Mary people in Kampung Orang Asli Bagan Lalang. They were given just 1 month to leave their homes, and that's because PNSP plans to develop the area for tourism, and they're planning to extend the Avani Sepang Gold Coast Luxury Resort. Now, this impacts a total of 35 Orang Asli from 12 families, many of whom have been living on that land for about 20 years. And so there's been a request for an extension of time because, one, they weren't consulted before receiving that eviction notice. And they really don't have very many options when it comes to relocating.
It's worth saying, I think, that the residents acknowledge that they're settlers and understand that the land is not theirs. So the request here, as you rightly point out, is about having enough time, being given an extension to vacate. And if we look at what the Tok Batin has had to say, who is Taha bin Ake, who is the Kampung Orang Asli Bukit Bangkong Tok Batin, basically, the statement here is that between the fasting month, Hari Raya, the COVID-19 pandemic, and the villagers not having anywhere to go, these are the main reasons that an extension is being requested. And it's kind of stretched out beyond that to go beyond the settlement because a lot of people have gotten involved. A lot of people have amplified the issue.
And this comes, I think, because we've heard a few too many examples of Orang Asli communities being basically having their land taken away, their land rights not being honoured. So some of that backlash, there was an online petition defending the Orang Asli that received over 10,000 signatures. Orang Asli activist Shak Koyok and singer-songwriter Yuna were among the people who spoke up about this on social media. And following this, PNSP has said that it's willing to consider that request to give the Ma Mary people an extension before they're evicted. But as of now, there hasn't been much more update on that.
So we are going to be talking about land rights and about this very situation. To do that, we're crossing over now to Colin Nicholas, coordinator at the Centre for Orang Asli Concerns. Colin, thanks for speaking with us. So could you walk us through the history and context for the Ma Mary settlement in Bagan Lalang?
Actually, right now, there is no Ma Mary settlement in Bagan Lalang. The people who are staying in Bagan Lalang, they're actually part of the Bukit Bangkong Ma Mary village, you know, settlement. That's about 2 km that away, you know. The settlement, so-called settlement at Bagan Lalang, is actually a kind of a transit point which they've been using in the past when they were mainly fishermen. That was where they would have their temporary shelter base and so on when they go to the sea or come back from the sea or rest and so on. And it doesn't mean that it's not their land. It's part of the bigger traditional territory. But it's not a settlement per se.
Could you explain that, this idea of it being, this particular village being a part of a bigger traditional territory?
Yeah, you see, in the past, we're talking about 40, 50 years ago, no, when most of the Ma Mary in that area were still relying on the sea for livelihood, that was their access to the sea, okay? The area now, which is considered their customary land by the government, is the area where they are settled on, where they have houses and they have, you know, farms and so on. But in the Orang Asli context, the traditional area, the traditional territory, is a much bigger than that. The term they use is a roaming area or kawasan raya, which the Orang Asli don't like to use, but it encompasses that, you know? So what happened was about when all of them moved back to, when they were settled in Bukit Bangkong, about 20 years ago, some were working in Bagan Lalang area and so on. They found it more convenient to live there. In fact, the headman's mother was the first to live there temporarily in a temporary shed. So later on, a few families, in fact, now only two or three families are there, Orang Asli families, were living there as part of their, say, transit house, you know, or settlement. Others came in. They built chalets there for their weekend, you know, holiday kind of trips, you know. And then they build houses. So there are actually more Malays there than Orang Asli in that area who are supposed to be resettled or evicted, but we have not heard anything about that. And all these families here actually have houses also in Bukit Bangkong.
So given then that not all families there are actually Orang Asli, should this issue still be viewed in the context of land rights for the Orang Asli?
So we do not know. Are the Malay families also been evicted? The information is not there yet. The focus seems to be on the Orang Asli, the Mamari there, see? So the issue now is it Orang Asli customary land? From the eyes of the government, of course, it's not customary land because they are supposed to be in Bukit Bangkong and the land is registered under the state and they're given it to the State Investment Corporation, see? But in the eyes of the wider Orang Asli, not the Orang Asli specifically at Bukit Bangkong, that area can be considered as part of their traditional territory. And how has it come to the stage where Orang Asli no longer have rights and the state government has legal right over it? You can put it down to a lack of fiduciary duty or lack of what the Court of Appeal once said in Sakun Tasi case, no? Because of your negligence, the state's negligence in gazetting all these areas as Orang Asli reserves in those at that time, the 60s, 70s, and the 50s, no? The Orang Asli are now made victims of your own negligence.
So you've mentioned that there's a difference between the government's idea of what customary land means versus the definition held by the wider Orang Asli community. Could you explain those differences and how it's become a source of contention?
Well, customary lands or traditional territories are areas which Orang Asli have traditionally occupied. Before anybody else came, they were the first settlers there, first people to occupy the area. And according to common law, under native title law, you know, they have rights to it. But of course, under the torrent system of, you know, the government lands law system, they work on the basis that if the land is not registered, you know, in anybody's name, it belongs to the state. So that's where the dispute is, you see. The government does not recognize it because it's not registered as Orang Asli land. And Orang Asli said it's our land because we've been here even before the government was established.
So, you know, besides the designation of customary land, are there other ways to protect the land rights of Orang Asli communities?
One way of protection is to gazette those areas which Orang Asli claim as theirs as Orang Asli reserves. It's not total protection, but at least it's the first step to recognizing that these areas belong to the Orang Asli. And the Selangor government claims to have registered 60% of all the 75 Orang Asli villages in the state. No? We dispute that figure, and we have asked for statistics on it. How many, where exactly are these 60% of villages, and how many hectares have been gazetted? No? To date, we have not received any information, no, both from the state, no, JAKWA or the state EXCO. No? The fact is that even if the government, state government, recognizes the land as Orang Asli Reserve, what they recognize generally is only a small portion of what the Orang Asli have traditionally claimed as a customary right. So that's where the other issue is. And so basically, it's a recognition, no? And putting a legal backing to that recognition.
So you mentioned this concept of, you know, lands that belong to them in particular ways, such as that Kawasan Rayau. Could you explain further on this?
The government likes to use the word Kawasan Rayau because it gives them the connotation that the Orang Asli are still living a nomadic lifestyle, not roaming here and there, see? That's not true. The Orang Asli land is a territory confined by very defined borders which the neighbours recognise. So in those territories, there are very well-defined areas where your housing are, where your kibbutz are, your farms are, where, you know, playgrounds are, where your catchment areas are, where your cemeteries are. You know, it's land use zones, no? It's like having a housing estate, you know? Not all of it is full of houses. You still have place for a surau or no place to worship. You have a playground. You have all these kind of things, no? So similarly, the Orang Asli have a big area, but not all of it is settled or used in the traditional way. But they claim rights to it because it is their traditional area. They have always lived there before. It's like a country, you see. Just because the country is not developed doesn't mean the undeveloped areas are not traditional lands or roaming areas. Before I go on, I should add that, no, when I spoke to the Batin, he said that he actually recognized that the new Bagan Lalang settlement there is state land, and they were tumpanging there, you know. But the area opposite the river called Pantai Jengkok is the area which they still use to go to the sea, and there are two or three families living there. And if that area is taken up by the state or if they are asked to be evicted, he will protest because it's still their area and they're still using it.
Now, in the case of the Mamari in Bagan Lalang, how will this eviction affect them?
Yeah, it's not as if that they do not have other houses. They all have houses in Bukit Bangkong. You know? So this is like, at that time, it was the home which was nearer to their workplace, and therefore more convenient. But now, because of the issue, they are going back to the other house, the main house in Bukit Bangkong, you see. So it's not a case of, you know, being evicted and then nowhere else to go, abandonment kind of thing, no? But also, they have invested a lot of money, a lot of time in their structures there and so on. So I can understand, you know, how they would feel when you're asked to be, to move in a month's time, you know. That is totally, inhumane in a sense, you know, and unfair. So they should have engaged in longer discussion, get the orang asli should have been allowed to have people to represent them or help them facilitate the negotiations. But in this case, it appears that, you know, they have been convinced that they don't really have rights and they are actually squatting on state land, so they are willing to give in, which is a sad situation. But largely because I think there was not enough advice being given to them or them knowing their full rights.
So if the villagers were to claim for their rights there, what would be the laws and processes that are involved?
First of all, they can claim native title rights to their customary land or the traditional territory of which Bagan Lalang is part of under common law. But the bar to prove this is quite high. There's a lot of work involved. Yes, you need to get lawyers. You have to find a lot of evidence, you know, broad secondary as well as primary evidence to show your presence and occupation and connection to the land concern. So to prove that, it's not that easy. It's not difficult, not impossible, but it's not easy. You need people who are united, very strong in their commitment to defend their rights and willing to go all the way, because there'd be a lot of pressure from all parties to give in, you know, including, you know, taking a monetary compensation otherwise and so on.
And what kinds of assistance or support would be expected from the government or PNSB?
I would think that with the issue now becoming so public and so many parties coming in, including all kinds of political parties, no, I would expect the corporation to be more sensitive and have better PR, no? So you can be sure that they'd be putting more time, more funds, more concern into the issue and try to come to an amicable solution. That I can expect. But the bigger issue at state is the state government of Selangor and its recognition of orang asli land rights, no? And the gazetting of lands. Yes, they made statements that they're doing in the process and so on. But we need to see the figures. We need to see the numbers, no? Because the statistics we are getting and going through all the government gazettes, no? Doesn't match with what they are claiming. I mean, the state government is saying that they are so proud that 60% of all the orang asli villages have been gazetted. This is something to be proud of, you know, and it's really a commendable effort, no? Why are you not willing to share the data? Tell us which of the villages are these 60% and how many hectares have been gazetted for each of these villages. It doesn't match if it's yours. At one time, you're so proud to make that kind of a statistic or announcement. And on the other hand, you are not willing to share the information.
So this is just the latest situation that has gained a lot of public attention, but it's by no means the only one. What are some other ongoing orang asli land issues that people should be aware of?
Yeah, I'm actually quite surprised at the amount of attention being given to this Mamari issue in Bagan Lalang, no? Rightfully, of course. But there are other bigger issues, you know, equally serious for orang asli, what they call it, security and you know, long-term recognition. For example, in Payabangan, in Pahang, here, orang asli who have been long settlers and who are well aware of their rights, but the land, their lands, the traditional lands have not been gazetted or recognized by the state. Now we have outsiders, non-orang asli, coming in and applying for the land and getting the land. And now, last week, burning down their field houses, cutting down their crops, and it's like violent occupation. You know, so these are the areas which should be getting bigger attention from the state and from the public, but it's not.
So lastly, Colin, you know, just if you could sum it up, why is it important for the public to speak up on these issues?
I think we cannot expect state governments or authorities to, out of their own kindness and good-heartedness, to protect orang asli rights. It has to come from pressure from the orang asli themselves and for the public. And the public has a very important role to play, you know. And but he has to get his, the public has got to get his facts right also. Otherwise, they'd be seen as, you know, just jumping on the bandwagon without knowing what's really happening, you know.
Colin, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Colin Nicholas, coordinator at the Center for Orang Asli Concerns, sharing his views on the situation surrounding the Orang Asli, or the Maaf Mary people in Bagan Lalang, and I think extending that conversation to look more widely at the issues surrounding land rights and Orang Asli here in our country. Share your thoughts with us. Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.